And thank you for coming along. Just want to open your Bibles and speak for a short time just from the Bible. That's my conscious thought this afternoon, that everything will be by God's word. I'm not going to be speaking you something that I've decided to speak on or something I've been cooking up over the last week or something. We'll just turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and that's in your Old Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through there. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45. It's quite a well-known verse, but we'll read it anyway. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me, this is God speaking, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. God says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We look to the Lord to bless the reading of his precious word. You know, there's an old picture. When I was reading this verse a few days ago, a picture came into my head. I don't know if you've seen it, and it's from Northern Ireland during the Troubles. And it's an old picture from 1987. And ATO, an Army Technicians Officer, Ammunition Technicians Officer, the bomb disposal, he's called out to Belfast, and he's walking down a street in Belfast, and he's approaching this van. But as he approaches the van, there's another street, and there's just a sign on the wall. He's called out because this van is expected to have IRA explosives in it. So as he approaches, he's all suited up, and he's ready to face death, because that's his job. And as he's walking down the street, there's a junction, and it's called Manor Street. And on that junction, on the side of this building, there's just a sign, and it says very plainly, prepare to meet thy God. It's quite a poignant picture. It's quite a famous one. Here's this man as he's facing death, potentially, called out for this explosive in a van in front of a church. There's a sign on the wall from Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. Now, I know I'm not going to be facing any potential explosives, and it's unlikely this afternoon in New Cumnock you're going to be called out to face, you know, this potential Volkswagen camper is going to go off. But there's something that man will face, it's something I'm going to face, and something each and every one of you are going to face at some point, and that's death. And that's a sobering thing, and that's what I want to speak on this afternoon. Are you prepared to die? That man who saw that sign, prepare to meet thy God. That's to this verse. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That is how we prepare. Are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to meet God? As we're saying that, and I'm sure, as I mentioned, death, it's not something we want to talk about. It's something we push far away in our mind every day. In fact, week goes and weeks pass and we don't want to think about it, so we don't. But it's there and it will happen. It will happen to each and every one of us. Are you prepared to meet God this afternoon? When that day comes, which is certain it will, I don't know if it's going to be an hour from now, a month from now, 50 years from now, we're going to die. Are you prepared to meet God? There's so many things in your mind that'll be thinking, right, we'll just ignore Tom for the next half an hour. We'll just not, no, that's a hard subject. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to hear about death. It's something serious, and that's too much for me in a Sunday afternoon. I've had a long week. And I deserve my rest. I came here just to go to a wee church service. I came here to just dress and look the part. I came here just not to hear this word from God. But God says, prepare to meet me. God says, look unto him. Are you prepared to meet God? Everything in this world today is designed to draw you away from that real reality of death. You think about it. Everything is designed today for your attention. It grabs your attention. If it's television, if it's newspapers, if it's magazines, if it's the internet, if it's videos, if it's news, even the news would distract you from that reality. Even things like food and medicine are designed to distract you from the reality of facing God. Everything tries to blot out and blank out that reality of death. Everything. Everything tries to numb that very thought. But this afternoon, I just want to peel into that. God's word says, you will die. God says to us, look unto me and be saved. God says, I am God and there is no other. Are you ready to meet God? I don't care, and God doesn't care about all the stuff going on in your life right now. Are you prepared to meet him? Not, well, maybe not just yet, but see if you give me another year. See if things go wrong, I'll do something about it. It's not good enough. You and I don't know when we're going to die. We're certain we're going to die, but we will face God. God is commanding us to be saved. Saved from what? When you and I die, that's not just the end of it. And we could go into that. We could spend the next 4 hours talking about that. If you want to come up to any of the Christians, come up to me at the end and say, how do you know there's something after this? Be more than welcome to. But God says there is something after this. And it's not just darkness. It's not just everyone gets a free ticket to heaven. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is guaranteed when we breathe our last and our soul departs, we will be judged by God. All of the sin in my life, all of the wrongdoing, all of the rebellion to God is going to be made known to him. It's going to be sat there, right in front. I can't hide it. I can't say, well, I tried my best. And no, God will see it and God will judge that. It's serious. The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, I'm going to be dealing a lot from Isaiah. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, the best that you and I have, all the goodness, all the righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You might be thinking, and there's a lot of people that think, God's going to look in your life when you die and say, well, look at the good Tom Gray did. He'll get a pass. Look at the good you have done in your life and the lot you had. Well, we'll just ignore the bad, and that's not what God says. Our iniquities have carried us away like the wind. You and I, the best we have, the best thing we can present to God, God sees it. God compares that to his perfect standard. And it's filthy rags. Filthy rags. Useless. Disgusting. Isaiah also writes in chapter 59, in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That's you and I. You and I just sin and sin continually. I don't want to hear that. You might not want to hear that. You might think, who's he to say that? God says it this afternoon. God has written it as clear as day. We're in the wrong. And if we just die in our sin, we will be judged guilty by him. Because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of our sin, the reward for our sins, is death. Because of our sins, Isaiah has written, we are separated from God. We're not just going to stroll into the pearly gates whenever we die. We are separated from God. The Bible says there's a great gulf, there's a huge chasm fixed between God and man. We're separate because of our sin. The world might say to you, well, you're good enough and you're perfect just the way you are and you deserve everything. You deserve paradise on earth. Everything that you would want, just go and have it. See, when you and I compare ourselves to God, when we hold up God's word and his perfect standard, and you look at your life and I look at my life, do I deserve perfection? Do I deserve to be with God? No. See, because of my sin, I don't deserve that. See, because of your sin this afternoon, you do not deserve heaven. You do not deserve to be in perfect union with God. You do not deserve to be with him. You deserve judgment. I deserve judgment and hell forever. That's what the Bible says. That's a hard saying. That's what Jesus preached about. That's what God has written in his word. You look at your heart this afternoon. I don't need to convince you. Look at my heart. I'll be honest with you. My heart's just self-centered. It's self-pleasing. All it cares about is I, me, and my. That's it. Being honest, that's my natural condition, is I am corrupt. Your condition this afternoon is the very same. I'm not up here saying I've got it all sorted and us Christians have worked it out and we're good and you're not. The Bible says all have sinned. We are all to be judged guilty this afternoon. And if we were all to die, we would all be found guilty for our sins. That's the serious reality of it. We're so dishonest about it. You might not like to hear that and try to make excuses. I can hear the excuses in my head. Well, it wasn't my fault I did that. And it's maybe my upbringing. And it's maybe... We've all sinned. And we're all guilty before God. But let me just turn back to what we're reading there in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. What was our verse this afternoon? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. See, one of the most impressive things about the gospel, the most impressive things about God's word, the most wondrous things, all of that was true, I just said to you. The best I can offer is filth to God, yet he still loves me. The best you can offer God, he doesn't want. It's sin, it's tainted, it's corrupted. He would be right in sending you to hell this afternoon, but he loves you. He sent his son to die in your place. God offers us salvation. If you're not understanding that this afternoon, God, you've heard it clear as day. Look unto God and be saved. Be saved. Look unto me. God's not asking for any service. God's not asking to sign up to a church here. God's not asking you to turn over a new leaf and, well, just try your best from here on out. That's not how you get saved. It's not some commitment to an institution. It's not repeating words and that's you. That's not what the Bible says. And when we look to God, it's not some miraculous sign. It's not, well, I know I got saved because I had this really overwhelming feeling. That's not what our salvation is based on. It's not some miraculous sign. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look to Jesus. I don't want you to do anything else this afternoon. God requires nothing. You look through the Bible. He doesn't want sacrifice from you. He doesn't want offerings. He's not pleased with them. Yet he wants you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to look not just at his life, not just at his miraculous birth. He wants you to look at his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, nailed to a cross. Look at it. Look in your faith. Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ there, dying for your sins, calling out, being rejected, saying, I thirst, being rejected by men? The Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He calls out, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? God's only Son hanging there on the cross. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he be tortured like that? You know, the Bible says at the hands of men, he was unrecognizable. You couldn't have looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and saw a man. It was brutal. But more so than that, when Christ hung there on the cross, see the punishment that deserved to be put on me, it's put on him. See the punishment that awaits you outside of Christ, it's put on him. That's why he's there. He loves us. He has given himself in our place. That sin has to be punished. And God says, instead of punishing Tom Gray, when I stand before God, I'll not be punished. Why? Because Christ has taken my punishment. I trust, I 100% believe that Christ has died for me. Has Christ died for you? Do you trust that Jesus Christ hung there on that cross, suffering and dying in your place for your punishment? You might say, surely that's not how God forgives sins. That can't be. God must want something else. God doesn't. You read through your Bible. You read through the Old Testament, New Testament. It points towards a Savior. It points towards a sacrifice. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. How could the Father be more pleased than his Son being offered for him? What could you and I do that is more pleasing than a full obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ? When he says, it is finished, when he says it's paid in full, that's it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work for anything. That's the beauty of it. That's the good news of the gospel. Christ has died for our sins. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You might think, well, that's all well and good for you, Tom. But there's bound to be other ways. I don't like that way. I don't like that you've called me a sinner. I don't like that God thinks he's above me. No one's above me. There's bound to be other religions out there, and there are. There are thousands of religions. In fact, there are thousands of people that say they follow Christ and don't believe what the Bible has just spoken to us. Is Jesus upon the cross the only way? What does God say about it? You can read through your Bible, but just even look at Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. And I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Look at chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Well, that's just Isaiah. That's just one book of the Bible. You read any. You go to Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I could go on. I'm not going to. Read your Bible. There is no other salvation. That's the whole point I want to speak to this afternoon. You are going to die. I'm going to die. And there is only one means of escaping punishment. I'm not interested in whatever man has made up or some sort of system that God has said in his word. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is no other saviour. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way of escaping punishment and hell. There is only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true Christ. You can go and listen to all these, some of these street preachers, and they'll say Jesus was actually this and that, and it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. There is one true Christ, not some religion's idea of Christ or some cult that he was created or that he's a brother of Satan and all this rubbish. God the Son is who he is according to the Bible. And it's not just my picture of Jesus. Your own personal idea of who Jesus is, that's not going to save you. If you just think Jesus is out there and affirms and says, yep, that's great, Tom. That's just, I agree with everything Tom Gray agrees with. Or put your name in there. Jesus is not that person. That will not save you when you will not stand before God. In fact, did you know even the name Jesus or Yeshua is so common in the first century? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of graves at the time dated the 100 years of the Lord of the name Yeshua on them. Trusting in them is not going to get you anywhere. In fact, it's believed, according to some manuscripts, that Barabbas, his first name was Jesus. That when he says, when Pilate says, who will I release? Barabbas or Christ? Thousands of them shouted, give us Barabbas. They trusted in, if his first name was Jesus, Jesus Barabbas. Give us Jesus Barabbas. What Jesus are you trusting in this afternoon? Is it Jesus that belongs to Tom Gray? And whatever I think, yep, that's the way it goes. That's not who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God, and he is how he is described in the Bible. He doesn't align with my views. I should align myself to his views, fair enough. But there's only one Christ. There's only one Saviour. In the Bible, you can see that Jesus isn't really referred to as Jesus by his closest. What do they always refer to him as? Lord. Lord, what does that mean? Lord means God. You're placing Jesus above you. Is Jesus, even if you're saved this afternoon, is Jesus your Lord? Is he above you? Do you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to? There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way, and it's not on our own terms. If you stand before God, it's not going to be a dialogue. It's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be your sins before you. And are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you saved this afternoon? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you look to God and be saved? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for you? Instead of you, he's dying there. Instead of you, he's suffering there. Look unto me, and you will be saved. That's it. The gospel message is so simple. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God says, you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's not some procedure. There's not 10 steps. There's not this big lengthy prayer. I don't even remember the prayer I prayed to God. I'm sure 7 years old, it was maybe one sentence or two. That's it. God's not asking huge demands. He's asking that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust that he died for you. That's it. Look unto me and be ye saved. Why does any of this matter? Why have I, maybe in your mind, wasted an afternoon, wasted half an hour bringing you this message? Why has God written that in his word for us? Why can't I just go out there and ignore it? If you look at the very last verse of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 66 and verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, that's against God, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Friends, I'm not speaking to you from myself. This is God who says it. God is saying you can look at the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and trust him. You can look unto me and be saved. You can believe that Jesus died for you and be saved. Saved from a place of torment, a place where you don't die, where the fires are not quenched. It's horrible, but you can be saved from it. Or you can go out that door. In fact, even before then, as soon as I put one step in that floor there, forget about it. Ignore it. Ignore God. Instead of trusting in him, instead of looking at him and being saved, there's a place of eternal fires. Eternal judgment by God. It's a lonely place. It's a separate place. It's a painful place. Forever lost. God is commanding you this afternoon, and the reality will be you will die, and these words, if you do not believe them, will be the guiltiness over you. These words will condemn you if you do not believe in Jesus. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Bow our heads in prayer. Our holy God and Father, we give thanks for thy word, and Father, the seriousness of it. Father, because of our sin, because of the way the world is corrupted, we will face death. And Father, to